I want him to give Leon Cameron a talk about not, you know, double, you know, not double clutching, granny shifting, lucky that 100 sort of NOS didn't blow the intake welds off the manifold. I want that sort of speech given to Leon Cameron because he has got the car.
Baby, one more time, we're back. The Lace Out Boys are back. Peps and J-Dog, another week in the books. Round 15 is finished. Bit of a bumper week for upsets, if you don't mind, my friend Jamie Wallace. So how are you feeling? Last week you weren't looking too flash on the mic. This week, how you feeling health-wise? How you feeling Port Adelaide-wise?
No, I'm 100%. Port Adelaide-wise, I can get stuffed. But I am 100%.
I know D's can get stuffed as well. They did get stuffed by the pedal pop lines up there in Brisbane on the weekend.
I told you, Peps.
You did.
Anyway, we've got a bumper show today. We have got a lot to cover off, so it's going to be rapid. It's going to be hold on to your seats because we are going to fly through stuff today and we're going to keep it fast.
It's going to be like Luke Perry on the bull in 8 seconds. It's going to be hard. It's going to be fast. If you don't stay, if you don't pay attention, you're going to fall off. We're talking about the final eight shakeup, the four big results on the weekend that have potentially shaken up the final eight. We're going to pull the trigger. The North pull the trigger on Reece Shaw. We'll discuss that. Stack versus Walsh. Who would you take? We'll have an in-depth discussion. Talking a few other things. We've got audience questions on. We've got the footy tipping. We've got the wrap-up. Lots to cover. I think the first place to start is the shake-up. Can I just say, was this a weekend where, I don't know about your tipping, mine was woeful, where there were four results which have totally flipped the way that the season is potentially going to end up. Teams who had no chance have now got a chance. Teams that should have been top four are now back with the pack. And teams that, theoretically, who were borderline have now snuck in. I reckon it's been the most interesting from a results perspective round for quite a long time. And it all started, it started with your mob.
You know what shits me?
What shits you?
I'm going to jump in before you. Sorry, Peps. It shits me when you start the tipping week with a loss. I freaking hate that shit.
And you know
what? I hate it.
And you know what's worse? When it's an Essendon win.
Oh.
That makes it even worse. And Kale Hooker, he wins it.
It signaled a bad week, didn't it?
You know what the worst thing was? I forgot to put the tip in on that night. Totally forgot. I run the footy tipping at my work, and I forgot to do my tips. So if I've missed 3 weeks in a row where I've missed the early game because I'm off with the fairies. But how can GWS be 3 goals up with, 5 minutes to go?
I agree.
And pork it to Essendon.
I did not want to spend a minute more on this because it just started my weekend bad.
And you know, if I could chuck someone in the frying pan this week really early, it'd be bloody Leon Cameron. He has got a Ferrari to drive every single week to the footy. Sometimes they're racing and sometimes they're like a John Deere tractor hoeing sheep. I can't figure them out, mate.
I want Dom Trillet, Dom. What's his name? Dom. Oh, no, I've lost his name.
Tyson.
No. The guy from the Fast and Furious. Don Trillet.
Who?
Fast and Furious guy. Dom, the big dude, the big
Vin Diesel.
Dude. What's his name in the movie?
Dominic Toretto.
Dominic Toretto. I want him to give Leon Cameron a talk about double clutching, granny shifting. Lucky that 100 sort of NOS didn't blow the intake welds off the manifold. I want that sort of speech given to Leon Cameron because he has got the car.
He's got the car, but he ain't got the ball. You know what it's like? You remember when he sat down there and he's eyeing off Paul Walker and he goes, "We live life a quarter mile at a time." He should then get in front of the guys and say, "Fellas, you got to play football 1 quarter at a time." Because they are the most frustrating mob.
No.
They play Tarzan
no,
and then
not.
Next week
they're... No, they're not.
No, they...
Port Adelaide are the most frustrating mob. We all know this.
No. You're not a Ferrari.
Killers.
You're not a Ferrari, though.
No, we're not a Ferrari.
Look, you got to give credit where credit's due. You know, deep, and we're talking like deep into that last quarter. They were down by a couple of goals and they've just gone ping, ping, ping.
Yep.
They nailed it. Yep. And a few players down by the end of the game as well, too. So What does that say more about Essendon or say more about GWS? You'd think the latter, wouldn't you?
Just probably. Probably. I think, yeah. Anyway, I don't talk about it. Let's keep going. Let's keep going.
Should we keep going?
Let's keep going.
All right. Now, what's the next game we should have a chat about?
Do you want to talk about the game or talk about something else?
Nah, look, I don't want to talk about the game. I just want to talk about the result. We might as well just go in order here because the next one that I thought, which was a complete fizzer, your mob.
Nah, get stuck.
Let's get your mob out of the way.
All right, let's do it quick.
Now, mind you, like Cyclone Tracy's twin sister came and visited at the Adelaide Oval on Saturday night. let's just say, they weren't perfect conditions for football.
Yeah.
They still smashed you.
Remember back in the 90s when you used to have real static on your TV on a storm night and you see there's like this light little shh. I thought that my TV was playing up. That's how loud the rain was coming through the mics at the ground.
At one stage I said to my kids, I said, is it raining outside? And they've gone, no. And I'm like, where's this noise coming from? And it was the rain off the roof at the – that was – you know what I love watching those games? They do the in-tight shot. You don't see much. And then they do the zoom out, and it's just white.
It's just white.
It's rain.
Yep.
I reckon if Bubba was laying in Vietnam with Forrest, he'd be saying that'd be like chubby rain. It was raining sideways. It was raining. It was just raining from the roof down. It was just like everywhere. We tripped on that rain. And Pa Adelaide tripped on that rain big time. Could you do what you did the week before and then pull out that type of performance? Against the Dogs.
It's Port Adelaide. This is the Dogs played wet weather footy. Port Adelaide thought they were playing under Marvel Stadium roof. We're trying to play dry weather footy. Dogs played wet weather. We got the shit kicked out of us.
Oh, you know who kicked the crap out of you though?
Who's that?
The Bont.
Oh, how clean was he?
Did you see the pickup? Might have been in the second quarter. The pickup he did on the boundary.
Yep.
Like that's a man who knows that this is my. As soon as you see that, you go, don't even just give him 3 votes for the pickup.
Oh. He was. I told you. I said to you, Bont is going to be better than Kuda. I'll go back. We'll find a soundbite from about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Yeah, I said
you
this.
You did say that.
Bont was champagne showers everywhere.
Oh, there was rain coming out of the roof showers, and there was. He was exciting. If you look at Jack McRae, Josh Dunkley. I can't even talk. Josh Dunkley, the Bont and Bailey Smith. They tore you new ones. On the weekend.
You know who even
tore you another one? Who played, he's actually really stepped up a little bit this year, Josh Shackey. I think he's found his spot. He was tearing you a new one.
Yeah.
You were in trouble. You were in trouble.
Disgusting. That 25-point margin really in dry weather is probably closer to 60.
That's a 60. And I'll add this in too. If you didn't have Scott Lysett, that would have been a 10-goal loss.
Yeah, easy.
He's had 21 and 42. Again, and 9 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no one even close to him.
No, Ollie Wines had 12 possessions the whole, or was it 12 touches? 12 touches.
He had 7 tackles, 12 touches. Though. He had 7 tackles.
He's a captain, Peps. Step up, Ollie.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, it's one of those games where you have to throw the body around. I still just don't think that people these days, especially from the higher-ups, just don't know how to play wet weather footy. They're so system-driven. In those conditions, just kick it forward. Footy system goes out the window. Just survival of the fittest.
When it's wet.
Yeah. I love playing in the mud.
Surely wet weather footy simplifies the game plan.
If that doesn't get you excited, wet weather footy, nothing will.
No.
Just body on body, dirt sliding in. That's when the real skills. Any man and his dog can kick it in perfect conditions, but when you've got waterlogged leather, tell you what, that's when the men come out of the boys. Oh, it's exciting stuff.
All right,
throwing any one of my tapes over the years, I'll show you to play wet weather footy. I was like a duck in water, I tell you what.
Mate, you were like sugar in water. You just melted.
Bull crap. They see the long sleeves, and that's why I wore them. Never got frostbite. Once. Ever. I had rock hard nips, but I never got frostbite. My boots were smoking. That's how good we were. Yeah, that was a stunner. Because you smashed him, you smashed him in disposals, free kicks. You had inside 50s. You had 20 more. Beat him in contested positions, head outs and interchanges.
Now, this is our second season. We've gone through Port Adelaide's stats. This is such a typical Port Adelaide loss. Win everything except the score.
Well, there's another team that's been doing that a lot this year too. We're not going to mention them, but they rhyme with album.
Oh, really?
And they're not from the north.
To be fair, you guys didn't look in it much.
I actually thought we were. I know we're digressing from the other two games, but let's just throw this quick D's game in there.
Okay.
You know what? You know the turning point of that game was third quarter in, up by 12.
Yeah.
Ball goes down to our forward line. Tom McDonald drops a check basically by himself. It was like he had a bowl of virus. No one was near him. Dropped it, went back down.
Yep.
He marks that, kicks that. That puts you up by 9. That puts you up by 18.
Yeah.
And then they're starting to get a bit of a gap.
And you guys didn't get a look in for us the game after that.
There was a certain individual by the name of Eric Hipwood who he literally took the piss on the weekend.
Yeah.
He must have had herpes or something because no one was going near him for 15 minutes.
No.
It was probably one of the best 15 to 20 minute passages. He doesn't miss. He was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
If the mask was there, smoking. That's how good he was. He was brilliant. Zorko, where do we go? Zorko, Lachie Neal, Mitch Robinson. Oh, it was
McCartney.
It was a nightmare.
Hey, we should celebrate. Stephen May kicked your first goal. We kicked his first goal for the Demons.
All right, here's something that's been thrown around a little bit on the Demon forums.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen May, Melbourne captain.
What?
That's been thrown around a little bit.
Replacing Viney.
Replacing Viney. Well, Jones might be his last year.
Yeah, Jones, understandable.
You got Viney, but May's just, I didn't know how good May was. He hasn't played a bad game yet. Mind you, he's only played four. but he hasn't played a bad one. The last couple of weeks, brilliant. So you get Lever in, which he could be back this week. It's going to make a massive difference for us, but you just got no forward system. I don't want to go on about it. Brisbane, right. They are awesome. They are top four. Awesome. And if they get home finals, you never know what's going to happen with them because they are an exciting. And that just goes to show that you can turn it around in a couple of years. You can rebuild. You get the right people behind. Like I said, if you can build the sexiest looking house, but if you don't have the strongest foundation, it's going to crumble after a while. And they've got a good foundation. So you know, whatever they're doing, keep doing. And whatever Melbourne's doing, do the opposite.
Love it.
We're poo. All right. Hey, let's have a quick chat. North. Actually, let's leave North because I think that transgresses into our next little piece after that.
Okay.
What about the effort on the weekend by Carlton? To go over to Perth,
mm-hmm.
No Cripps,
mm-hmm.
Kerno gets injured,
mm-hmm.
And to do what they did against Frio.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say? Does that say more about Frio? Is this another? Is that more about Frio or is it more about Carlton or is it just one of those anomalies that they had no right to win it.
I haven't actually given much thought to the game, to be completely honest.
They were five goals up at one stage.
Yeah, so I think both clubs are taking the piss. I think Freo's taking the piss. They should have been basically, that game should have been done.
Should have been done.
Took the foot off the pedal and got rolled. And I think Carlton, where was that effort 10 weeks ago?
Where's that effort been 10 years ago?
You're taking the piss. Like, you've just lost a coach. You're taking the piss if you're going to put that effort in. Because there have been in many games this season already where they should have done what they've done. Where they should have rolled over, which they did end up winning. They've been up to four or five games this season where they've been up to their necks in it into third quarter. And then they just get rolled. Where's the effort?
I don't know about you, mate, but when I see wins like that, like, you can't help get excited. I don't know, it screwed our tipping up.
Yeah.
But what annoys me more than anything is why weren't they able to do this under the coach that they had? They haven't had an influx of players. So what is it?
No answer.
And it's the same with the team that we're going to talk about in a moment, which is North Melbourne. It's exactly the same scenario.
No answer. I got no answer. Don't know. It's not very podcast exciting, but I have no
answer. But I think it is exciting because it doesn't make any sense at all. Is it because they're they've got a license to play? Is it that it's not as confusing as the game plan? Is it that they're allowed to do stuff? Are they allowed to just play football?
But they've come out and they said they're not playing a different game style.
Bullshit. You've gone over to Perth and won.
We can see it.
I'm sorry. This is the other problem. Totally not it. Why can't people just be honest about what the hell's going on?
Because you've got to sell memberships and corporate doggers. No, it's just corporate gigs.
But it's just say what's going on. Hey, you know what? We've changed a few things around here and it's been better. Well, are you offended? You've already sacked the bloke. Yeah. What does it make a difference?
You're hurting his feelings.
You've already kicked him on the way out. Hey, don't let the door smack you on the way, as you've said, you know, as you sit there and listen to what you did wrong.
Yeah.
Why can't you just say, hey, you know what? Bolts was awesome. Teague's come in, lightened up a few things, and it's just clicked. Yep, why can't they just say that? If you ever look at the way the NRL talk at their press conferences, they don't fluff it. They just say what they want to say.
Yeah.
And we're too much of the corporate speak. And I really believe it's because the AFL are hamstrung. You can't talk about umpires. You can't talk about goal review. You've got to call the Martians or whatever.
Yeah.
You can't say anything without getting, here's a fine. And as we know, those fines are tax deductible. Still can't believe that, but they are.
Crazy.
It's just crap. And you just want them to be able to come out and do that every week. We play them this week. We'll win by 10 goals. I don't know how, but we'll win by 10 goals.
If you guys don't,
yep.
Guess that sees you.
Second last.
No, last.
No, it's not. We've still got Gold Coast behind us.
Oh.
But that's okay.
Gold Coast, why?
That's okay because we're going to get the number one draft pick. One step closer to the edge. And now I'm about to break.
You will get the second. And then Adelaide will get what? The third pick.
Carlton and Pooh.
Oh, shit. Carlton. What have you done to yourself? Him.
But no, it's an interesting perspective of things. But they've got some good kids down there. Paddy Dow. We know about Cripsy. Jack Silvani's starting to play a little bit better football.
Yeah.
Mark Murphy. Mind you ever look at that passage of play? Everything that could have gone wrong should have gone wrong, and it didn't.
Yeah.
The tap out. Murphy going back on the inside.
Yeah.
The boo-na-na to just slot it through.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It was great to hear Ross Lyon come out and pretty much say, look, they were unrecognisable. But Nat Fyfe, like another example, he's just had a casual 29. Connor Blackie, casual 31. But after that, there really wasn't much to shine about.
Not for this team.
Nah, but hopefully the D's steal Egg Langdon. Very excited by him. He wants to come back to Melbourne. The D's have got him on his radar. Hey, but you know the guy that we're just going to have a chat about in a moment? Sam Walsh.
Yeah.
Casual 30, 8 tackles, 125 fantasy points. Has he got the Rising Star pretty much locked and loaded?
No, I don't think so.
You don't reckon?
No.
You reckon there's somebody else out there?
I think there are probably two people out there.
Two people? Well, I've got one written down who I'm going to get into in a moment, but we'll go into the third one. I might even get you to open that one up and have a bit of a chat about that. All right. The last team that we want to have a quick chat about in terms of who shook the final eight up this particular round is North Melbourne.
Yep.
All right. Couple of things. First of all, they have played the game at Marvel.
Yep.
They've gone out and not just played against Collingwood, they have destroyed them.
Yep.
They've destroyed them. They've beaten them by almost close to 8 goals.
Yep.
They are another team that you look back and just go, well, nothing's changed.
Yeah.
But it has changed.
They just
got, as the game got on, they got better.
Yeah, oh, completely. And they are another team that you and I watch and go unrecognisable.
No.
From even 4 weeks ago, unrecognisable.
Oh, they were putrid. They were putrid. I'm like,
you know, it's all working.
It's all work. So it just shows how quick things get turned around, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Well,
I literally cannot figure out what's going on.
I agree.
And, you know, that might be one of the questions I'll ask this week, is that I see teams who have done nothing for so long, they do a change of coach. How come as soon as there's a change of coach, and it's happened twice this year already, why teams suddenly almost get re-energized or revitalized? I'd love to hear a coach's opinion on that. And that's something I'll definitely ask this week when I speak to Tom Hunter. who's the Richmond AFL women's coach. Got a great chat with him coming up. So stay tuned for the next episode in the A Chat With series. But that's something I'm definitely going to ask because from an outsider's perspective, I just can't, I don't understand it. And I think there's a lot of people who want to know why.
Yep.
But they are brutal. They're playing hard football, running football. They've got the same players. Like, it's not as if they've had a turnover of players in the time.
Yeah.
They're almost free.
Yeah.
They are almost free. And
yep, I agree.
Jack Zeeble's got a new lease of life about him. Ben Cunnington just destroys it again. Jed Anderson, who couldn't get a kick in a street fight for the first half of this year. He's come out and probably played his best game for the year. Polak, Pittard, you got rid of them.
Pittard's still flaky, but definitely Pollock and Ben Brown actually has discovered that he actually can lead in the forward 50 somehow.
Just get out of his way. He's that big of a unit. Just get out of his way. Mind you, he did kick 0-4.
Doesn't matter.
I think they were saying last week when we were talking about Wiedemann's game, and we said Paul Ruse, and that said it's harder. The hardest part is actually getting to the contest. Once you're there, anything can happen. If he's getting a contest and bringing it to ground, it's going to allow people like Zeeble to kick three. It's going to allow Pollack to kick his ones. It's going to allow Mason Wood to have another good game again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're just doing a little bit. You know, Luke Davies, Yunaki, he's probably had a, you know, hasn't had a great game, but he's got himself into the system more. Goldstein's come back with another 30 hitouts.
Yeah.
You know, what would the result have been if Brady Grundy didn't play?
Yeah.
The second best ruckman in the league.
Could have been nasty. It could have been worse.
So does that just mean that Collingwood, you know, when the going gets tough, they don't go down that route? They're just not strong?
It's a one-off.
You reckon it's a one-off?
Yep. I think Collingwood are still probably clear third, second around that place.
But they're not firing on all cylinders. I wouldn't say that they're humming like they were last year.
Not this time of year. You don't have to be this time of year.
No, but you want to... But they've been going like this virtually all season. They haven't been humming all season.
Yeah, I'm still thinking they're going to be up there when the whips truly are cracking.
Yeah, I do. Look, they've got a great list, but I think it just goes to show that you only have to be. I'll put it this way: if Grundy goes down, Collingwood are gone. Melbourne with Gawn. No Gawn, no Melbourne.
But you should also see Collingwood's injury list at the moment. It is horrendous.
Yeah, it's not too. It isn't too good from their perspective as well too. We might actually have a bit of a chat about that around the injuries and those side of things because it is interesting when you look at how teams have been affected.
Yeah,
and the teams that are getting some players back, how much of a difference it's making as well too.
Sure.
All right, here we go. So, load up your gun, my friend. The bullets in the chamber. We're aiming. This one at Reshaw.
Ooh, Reshaw.
So what do we do? Do we pull the trigger on him? Do we, you know, he's had a good little run. What's that? Four or five games already?
No.
You know what you're going to get so far?
No.
Do you pull the trigger on him or do you still go hard for Longmire, which is theoretically their only main target, you'd think?
Well, and Brady Rawlings as well coming back over from WA.
Yep.
No, I don't think, I would take this next 2.5 months as an apprenticeship. Do not make a decision right now about your next coach, North Melbourne. You see so many clubs end up going down this route. We did it with Primus. Port Adelaide did it with Primus. He won the last 5 games of the season, signed him up, and he was gone within the next sort of 40 to 50 games.
Okay.
Do not do this. I think you need to hold out for John Longmire. I personally feel that John Longmire is probably playing the games with Sydney to try and get a bigger contract.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
allowed to do. He, you know, you're going to have to pay that guy big bucks to get him out of there. He's been up there. How many years has he been up there now?
10?
Did he say 20?
Oh, up close there, to 20 odd?
He's been
time.
Up there for close to 20 odd, hasn't he?
Correct. He's been assistant before then, yes.
Because he was working with Ruse when Ruse won his flags. And that was 2005. Yep.
Back to backs. Yeah, whatever they were.
2005. 2019 now. So, yeah, that's 15 seasons. He's been up there a while.
Yeah, I agree.
So it is. And it's, you know, you're going to have to pretty much uproot the entire family to get him down here.
Yeah.
They're throwing around a figure of around about 1.2, 1.3.
For a coach, wow.
But who's more important, a coach or a player?
Coach.
Yep, players are paid so much more.
I agree. Yep, I agree with that.
So I'm not too sure, but look, I think it's a tough one. As a man who has seen many interim coaches look after their team over the last 10 years, do not pull the trigger on anyone. They've got to see it through. They've got to get right to the end.
You're saying hold?
Yeah, I'd say hold. I want Big O, I want Mel Gibson on his horse. Hold!
With the ute driving in the background.
With the ute driving in the background. Hold! And just don't blow your wad just yet. You've got 8 games left in the season. See what happens. Get a body of work together.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if they make finals, which, you know, they're not too far away now.
Yeah.
Then you can go, well, we didn't see that coming halfway through the year, or after round 10, I think it was. Yeah. Now look at where we are.
Yep.
It would be a perfect opportunity for them to go, you know what? If it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Correct.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
What would you do if you were Reshaw, though?
Yeah.
If you didn't get it,
mm-hmm.
you'd go in for the other jobs. I get that wholeheartedly.
Yep.
Let's just say Longmire comes in. Would you stay at North, or would you go somewhere else?
I think if he has the good thing is about Reshaw coming into it now is this is the serious time of the football season. So if he starts getting a few runs on the board and a couple of wins out of this, it's only going to look positively on it. If he loses, then people go, so what's North? They were terrible most this season.
Yep.
So if he was to miss out on the job and John Longmire was to get it, I don't think he's hurt himself either way in the decision. I think he'll probably go for other jobs, and I think he'd probably be maybe a strong candidate because he's actually had now an AFL experience.
Okay.
What about you? What do you think?
I think it's better for him. He's in a no-lose situation.
Absolutely. No-lose.
No-lose. But he's just putting himself up the order, not just for the North job,
yeah,
but also now for the any other jobs floating around.
Correct.
Yep. I think from a North perspective, I think they can put a younger coach in. Carlton cannot put a younger coach in. They're going to have to put someone with experience in there.
Yeah.
So you can see why they're going so hard at Ross Lyon, why they're going hard to a degree you've heard, but I don't think he's going to go anywhere in terms of Clarkson.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure.
Wouldn't rule out Ken Hinckley.
For Carlton?
For Carlton.
Wow. Are you that adamant that he might get the chop?
I'm that serious about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Who's going to take over?
Well, who knows? I don't know that.
Who's going to throw their hand up? That's it. Because you're not hearing much about the assistants who want to throw their hands up at the moment, are you? You're always just hearing about the coaches who are going to throw their hands up.
But I'm
fascinating. It's just fascinating stuff.
It is. And because you got Alan Richardson as well. And we spoke about that last week anyway. But there's a few coaches there. Who'd be looking? Who'd be looking over their shoulders?
Lots of them are looking over their shoulders at the moment.
Because as all clubs know, and as you and I, spectators, paying people, members, and all that sort of stuff, if you're, and I'm going to talk specifically Port Adelaide here, crowds are down this year, corporate sponsorships dropped off.
Yep.
Even if you're locked into a clause with that coach,
yep.
If you're losing corporate money and memberships,
yep.
That will far outweigh the cost of paying out your contract. So you are never safe just because you got the contract.
It's a bit like the Israel Folau scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yep.
And what happened with him?
Well, the club is bigger than the coach.
Yep.
And they'll make decisions that have to be made. But at the moment, we'll see where we end up.
I think, like I said, like Reshaw, he's just sitting back doing everything he possibly can to set himself up, not just now, for the future as well too.
Cannot lose.
He cannot lose. He cannot lose.
All right, where do we go now?
All right, well, if you want to, you know, have a bit of a segue into who cannot lose, you'd think at this particular stage in the Rising Star Stakes, it would be mm-hmm. Sam Walsh. But there's been a guy for Richmond who's come completely out of nowhere. It's almost Kiwi in the 1983 Melbourne Cup. That's how far back he was. Sydney Stack.
Yep.
Now, we could get out our superannuation policies and compare the pair, which I'm happy to do so.
Nah, boring.
Now we just had a quick thing. Who would you take, Walsh or Stack?
I would take Walsh.
You take Walsh?
Yep, okay. But I wouldn't take either over Connor Rosie.
So Connor Rosie. So all right, I'll put it this way: Walsh or Stack? Which one do you take?
Walsh.
You take Walsh. All right. So I'd take Stack just for the simple fact we need some outside run.
He's a defender. They're a dime a dozen.
They're a dime a dozen?
Yeah, defender's a dime a dozen. It's an easy position to play.
He plays midfield as well, too. Hey, look.
Only Dumbos play bloody defender. The ball's right there. Just run at it.
Yeah.
The true craftsman like, play the forward.
A bit like you just run at it like Cale Morton did. Oh, it's against
boring.
Cale Morton against who was it? Was it Late? No, it wasn't Late. Primus. Do you remember that?
And just run away.
Just run away.
That, if you've seen it, think of the scene from Happy Gilmore when he's like, when Shooter McGavin insults the big giant dude. That's what the Cale Morton Primus looked like.
Hey, look, if we can find that video, we'll put that up on the Facebook page.
Hey, Shooter, you forgot your 9-iron.
We come for lobster. Want to go to Red Lobster?
What a classic. So defenders. I'm gonna put my flag in the sand here and say Connor Rosie's playing a harder position than either of those two.
Up forward.
Up forward. Yeah.
All right. So let's just go through some high stats.
Quick high stats.
Really quick high stats. Walsh 25 disposals average. Stack is 17.
Yep.
Okay.
Connor Rosie. You want to know Connor Rosie's?
Oh yeah. If you can do Connor Rosie's, have you got that in front of you?
Yep. Disposals, 15.1 average.
Okay, so Walsh has got that one down pat. All right.
Yeah, midfielder, surprise.
Yep. Inside 50s, 2.9 a game for Walsh, 2.4 for Stack.
39. For Rosie.
39, or how many? Are you doing averages, or are you just doing totals?
Oh, sorry. Averages. Don't know.
He's a forward. He probably wouldn't have too many because he's in the 50. Disposal efficiency. This one was someone that surprised me a lot. Walsh was at 66. Let's round off to 67. 83% for Stack.
I'm looking at proper high level. You're looking at detailed stats.
Yeah, well, what stats? Isn't that what you want to look at?
Oh, you said high level.
This is high level. Anyone can do low hanging fruit.
Professionalism peps. Professionalism.
Look, Walsh spends more time on the ground. He has more centre clearances because he's in there.
You talk. You just keep talking. I'm going to find my bloody
details. You do that. Footywire.com.au. That's where I'm getting all mine from.
Well,
score involvement's 4.4 to 3.5. Meters gained, 316 to 220. So there's 100 meters gained difference there. Yeah. Sam Walsh turns the ball over a hell of a lot more, 5.1 compared to 1.7. And Stack intercepts at around about 6.6 to 3.5. So you're right, he's got more of a defender's game going on at the moment, but he does push into the midfield a bit. I just love his pressure and what he brings to the game. But you were talking about Connor Rosie, because we had a chat about this, I think, last week, about the Holy Trinity that you brought in this year.
I did.
And you think Rosie's the best one out of the lot?
I think so. Inside 50 for Connor Rosie, average 2.8 a game, disposals 15, kicks, handballs, marks, goals. You know, he's averaging 1.3 goals a game. He's kicked 18 goals in total. What I don't know, clangers less than a clanger a game.
Yep. He's 1%ers far outrank, so he's got that, you know, that forward pressure, which is his niche.
Yep.
Spending 80% of the game 80% of the game on the ground. Yep. Not as many meters gained, but when you're playing forward 50, you're not going to be running up and back and racking up the Ks.
Yep.
His tackles inside 50, you know, close to two a game.
Yep.
His turnovers, he's averaging 3 turnovers less than Walsh.
Ranked 14 in tackles inside per 50 per game. So that's out of all the players in the AFL.
Yep. And to be in, he's sitting at 185 centimetres. He's only 73 kegs.
Yeah.
I think you nailed that, bloke. I think you've nailed him, averaging, you know, 4 and a bit tackles a game. He's exciting.
So I'll take him. But take him. Stack, in terms of Sydney Stack and where they picked him up, basically, which is under a draw, under, you know, under a drawer somewhere, locked in a cabinet basement that no one's seen in 50 years. Yeah. Sydney Stack is the pick, undoubtedly, of the draft.
He has literally come out of nowhere. I think they found him in the bottom drawer of a locked cabinet in the basement at the St. Vinny's in Brundura. I actually might have found him in an episode of Storage Wars.
He is a pickup. I do agree. He's a pick, definitely the pickup. And he's in the top three conversation for Rising Star.
But isn't it interesting? The three players that we've picked, normally it's dominated by midfielders.
Yep.
You've got a forward, a mid, and a back. Yeah. Which is really good to see.
Yep.
Just goes to show all the positions get some love. Rightio. Now,
I'm sick of midfielders.
Pardon? You're sick of midfielders?
Sick of talking about midfielders.
All right. Now, the fry pan. What have you got for the fry pan this week, Jamie?
Fry pan this week. I actually got nothing this week because I wanted to talk more about some of the injuries coming up, to be completely honest.
Well, is that the fry pan? It's just the amount of injuries going on at the moment.
Sure.
Sure? All right, hold on a second. Let me just turn on the.
You know, I know you. You want to press it?
I want to just turn on the grill, turn on the flame. All right, just a bit of butter. Thank you, Comedy Gold, right there. Pushed the wrong button. Here we go. All righty, so we've got it sizzling. It's up. It's up to temperature now. You want to have a bit of a crack at the amount of injuries going on at the moment in the AFL? Is that right, Mr. J Dog Wallace?
Yes, a little bit. I just think I'm just running through my list here, and it's at least taken me six finger flicks on my MacBook Pro here to go through the website of all the injuries in the teams at the moment. This is above average this year. I just feel like it's above average. I feel there's more stars this year out of the game than any other year previous.
Yeah.
What do you think about
that? I think if you go through every team, I think Brisbane, looking at everything, Brisbane are just, they don't have hardly anything going on at the moment. They've got three. But some teams, they've got massive lists. Collingwood, they've got a bucket load. Carlton have got a decent load as well. Essendon, but it's not just, it's big name players that are out at the moment.
Yeah.
And
Can I just focus on Carlton quickly?
Yeah.
Paddy Cripps, Charlie Kernow, Sam Doherty, Harry McKay, Liam Stocker, are all out.
And you know what? I think they would be not doing them the right thing by giving them another week on the sidelines. Do the right thing by them. And this is another thing. Teams should, when players are injured, just give them another week to rest up. If you think that they're right, don't push them. What are you risking? Just take another week off, Carlton. Do the right thing by your team. Do the right thing by your players. You didn't need them last week, and you don't need them this week.
Great.
Because Melbourne play them, and we're going to get cooked if they turn up.
Rest as long as you want.
Yep, exactly right. But Collingwood, big names out there.
Where do we go?
Adams, Aish, Beams, Dunn, Elliott, mm-hmm. Howe, mm-hmm. Langdon, mm-hmm. Essendon, Danaher, Fremantle, Harley Bunnell. Hey, guess what? Did you hear he did a calf again?
Oh, surprising.
Who would have thought? To be confirmed, it's done. Stephen Hill, Jesse Hogan, Rory Lobb, Geelong, who we got there? Natai Cockatoo, I don't think he's played a game virtually all year, has he?
No, he has.
Meningola, we've got Gary Rowan, he's still got another couple of weeks, Radigalia, yeah. Gold Coast, they've been hit hard by a lot of their younger blokes, Ainsworth, Bowles, yep. Collins, Lemon Schofield, Rory Thompson, GWS, not as bad as everybody else. The main one, obviously, there is Callum Ward and Lockie Whetfield are the two you'd probably look at.
And Jono Patton as well.
Jono Patton. I'd even say Matt DeBoer to a degree because of the stopping work he's been doing. Hawthorn, well, we know about Tom Mitchell, Jared Ruffhead, side strain, Schoenmakers, Stratton, Wingard. Geez, you guys sucked did well in. With that
sucked
one.
In.
Yeah, sucked in. The D's, Jeff Garlett, obviously Gorn, got injured on the weekend. Jeddah, Kolarjasny, Lever, Melksham, Joel Smith hasn't played a game all year. Aaron Vanderburg hasn't played a game all year.
Is Billy Stretch done?
At the D's? I reckon he could be on the trade table.
How many games has he played for the D's? Five?
For the year or as part of his career?
As part of his career. Five over five.
If you
years.
Give me a moment, you go through the rest of what we've been looking at, and I'll give you the info with him.
Yep. So Matt Jackdaw, Taylor Garner, Aaron Hall from North. Bailey's got Dom Tyson, which I don't think he's going to be much anyway. Ed Vickers, Willis, Port Adelaide. There's not very many. We've got Jack Watts, Jack Trengove, but they're all guys that are probably not going to make it. Matthew Broadbent, mental health assessment. Richmond, huge amount here. You've got Callum Moore, Toby Nankervis, Alex Rance, Jack Riewoldt, and Jack Ross, St Kilda. This is just sad for St Kilda. Logan Austin, Jaron Geary, Dean Kent, Max King, Billy Longer, Jack Loney, Paddy McCartan, Ed Phillips, Dylan Roberton, Jack Stephen, Jimmy Webster. Jeez.
I reckon theirs is the worst. They've got four seasons.
Yeah.
Three indefinites.
Yeah.
And a couple who are sitting 1-6-8 with Geary with his leg.
Yeah. And that's 10 of their best 22.
Yep.
That's rough.
Sydney, not as bad, but, you know, obviously Cunningham, Franklin, McVeigh, Naismith, Callum Sinclair, Nick Smith.
Yep.
West Coast are in a pretty good. Well. Yeah, they're not too bad. They've got most of them. Petrocelli, Nathan Vardy. Well, we don't talk about him. He's a spud. probably Barras would be the big one out from there. The Bulldogs, they've actually gone the other way. They had a lot at the start of the year, and a lot of them have come back, which is good.
The big ones there are Mitch Wallace, Liberatore, and Caleb Daniel.
Yeah, exactly. How good's Caleb Daniel been this year?
Yeah, he was good.
He was good on the weekend. Yeah, the little fellow was just skimming through the wet.
It's unfortunate. He's got...
he was just skimming through the wet, the little fellow.
That black helmet, he was just like a torpedo.
Oh, he was just... it was like skiing on those water, tell you what.
Did you find Billy Stretch?
Yeah, 45 games.
Across five seasons?
Picked up in the 2014 National Draft. So that's 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. No, fifth year. He's averaging nine games a season, but I would say last year he played a fair few.
He legit is the ghost of the club then. I've never seen him actually on the field.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's not getting a game.
I just don't feel he's... But does he actually have a presence when he's on the field?
No,
I didn't think so. I just haven't seen his name.
That's the issue. We've got a lot, you know, there's a lot of clubs that have that range of players that seem to go all right at a VFL level, but just can't bring it together in an AFL level.
Yeah.
I just don't think clubs are patient enough to just give them a go.
Okay. All right. Next one. Next one. We move on to next.
So I do believe from, like I said, from a fry pan perspective, I'm really concerned about the number of injuries. Now, is it the factors? It can't be the weather because the weather hasn't been too bad. Last week was probably the wettest it's been.
Yeah.
The grounds haven't been super hard. You probably say the two hardest grounds are Optus.
Yeah.
And Marvel.
Yeah.
Is it, and I brought this up a number of weeks ago, and I'm probably going to stand by it. Is it that they're too fit? There's not an ounce of fat on them. They are so finely tuned. It's like a Formula One car. They are so finely tuned, but any little bit of body contact from the wrong angle and they just completely fall apart.
I don't know. I think it's just the game is fast. And a couple of them, it's, well, you've played more than I have, 376 games for East Kiel Football Club.
The
game is unlike any other game out there in the world. It is a 360 game, and you can have an injury and a hit and a tackle and a sling and someone falling on you across your body, all around you. That's where the injury is, because now these players are playing harder, 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 faster, 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 faster. And I just think that's just a consequence of what the human body is the human body, but the game is demanding more.
Oh, my friend, the audience. Well done, Jamie Wallace. I think you've just succinctly put what's going on with the game right then and there. And I just wanted to push the button again. audience questions. I will say, look, I only really had one audience question. It's a boring question, but from the final eight after the weekend's results.
Oh, yes.
Came in from the Love Machine, my brother. He wanted to know, based on what's happened over the last weekend with the results not going the way anyone predicted, when it comes to the final eight, who's in, who's out? Because last week we said Richmond were going to be ninth.
I think every week on our Facebook site you said, top eight's locked in, not going to change.
The statement doesn't change, but everything else changes.
You crack me up every week. I'm like, I'm waiting for my Monday morning post.
Yeah, it's going to be there.
Top eight's locked.
Top eight's locked. Not going to change. Look, I don't know.
cracks me
the
up.
The one that cracks me up. The one that, well, looking at it now, it's you even look at the games this week, and we'll have a quick touch on the games after we do the footy tips, but you have a look at the games this week.
Yeah.
Jeez, I tell you what, tipster's nightmare trying to figure some of these out. And it's going to really shape up the if the results go that the way that we think, it's going to really shape it up for the rest of this season.
Yeah. Oh. Well, if you look at it, the teams that should have won on the weekend to really consolidate their spots in the eight.
What about Hawthorn?
Blew it.
I was watching that. I was watching Toy Story 4. We were just getting through the opening credits. I had to watch the last minute. They blew it.
Oh, big time.
Big time. Sucked in Hawthorn. That's what you get for taking Chad Wingard and James Frawley.
Hate Wingard. Honestly, as I said, other than St Kilda down.
Yep.
So from 14 down, they're all gone. But really, it's open from 13 up. I think the top two are going to stay the top two. Do I stand by my statement just then? Yes, I do.
You do? Yep. Okay. I hope so, because that means that I get more finals for my MCC membership this year if those two stay there.
So I definitely think the top two are going to stay.
Yep.
But I really honestly believe that from three down to 13 is open.
And you know what, AFL? This whole wild card weekend thing, you can get stuffed with that.
Yeah.
That gives me the shits. If you're not good enough after 22 weeks to be able to get into that top eight, it's just a money grab. Don't tell me it keeps the season more alive and you got more to play for. Squirt it. One other thing. Real quick one.
Yes.
Score review. They had a great week again, didn't they? Can they come out and just be honest with us and say, yes, we made a mistake? What are they scared of? Saying we've made a mistake.
Robbed you and I of a vote. I mean, of a tip. Let's look at it. Let's get to the cracks of what we're talking about here.
So we're talking about the game on Friday night.
Yeah.
No, the Thursday night. GWS and Essendon. And it was the goal before Hooker's goal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember who kicked it, to be honest.
Touched.
The guy's finger bent back. That the fingernail was touching the back of his hand. That's how far his hand went back.
I've got to be truthful. I couldn't see it.
Were you still delusional from your sickness last week?
Probably.
The finger bent back.
Yeah, no, it did.
It bent back, right?
It did.
It wasn't the magic bullet in the JFK conspiracy. The finger did bend back. And then they've gone, it was inconclusive. To say it was inconclusive, was Stevie Wonder looking at doing the score review?
It's a shocker.
With assistance from Ray Charles.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
Oh. It was woeful. Yeah. And then somebody come out and said, so if it wasn't the ball, what made his finger bend back?
Yeah.
And you know what?
The AFL said it was fine.
Do you know what the answer was?
What's the answer?
Crickets. That's what came out of good old Gil's mouth. Crickets.
You love that little soundboard, don't you?
I'm loving it. But yeah, it was...
AFL said it was fine. So if AFL said it's fine, Peps, I've got no issue with it, right? Is that how we're supposed to play the game?
It's just, I reckon this has been the most farcical year of AFL I've experienced in quite a long time.
Pep, stop saying things like that. We won't get our AFL media passes.
We're not going to get it anyway. Unless the listeners write to them and say, Lace Out need to be media accredited so we can go and speak to the players in hand. Speak to Chad Wingard and ask him where he gets his shit tats. Maybe they could tattoo a heart on him. Hey, tell me the footy tip, and how's that going at the moment?
Justin is killing it. Yeah. But I had a terrible one. I had four this week.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think I had four as well.
Yeah.
And Love Machine, I think you had five.
Ah, oh, bloody hell.
Just gives me the shits, doesn't it? Just gives you the shits. You think you're going to strike back and then...
I was thinking this year I was going to get over 130. I'm not even going to be close to that now.
I'm not even going to get 100. I keep forgetting to put my tips in. That might help. Alrighty,
Justin got five. So I think we all had a shocker. I'm only two clear of Justin now. He has brought me back in the last couple of weeks. But I'm on 79. Justin's on 77. Lace Out is you.
Yep.
You're on 74.
What are you on 80?
That's 79.
Oh, five behind you. What meets your eye?
Your brother is now equal on 74 with you.
I'm never going to hear the end of it.
Pepper Brothers.
Alrighty. So let's wrap this bad boy up. So a couple of things before we send this one to pasture. Remember, on the Facebook page, anything that you want to add, give us feedback, give us content. The more you put up there, the more we'll just keep doing what we keep doing. Give us the feedback. Hey, leave us a review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you can, because it pushes up in the rankings and we might get more than, you know, 450 listeners, which is our average every week, around about 450, 500 in our dreams. But yeah, just keep giving us, you know, give us a review. We'd love you, you know. Next time I see you, if you put a review on iTunes for us, I will shout you a bourbon. I will shout you a coffee. If you leave us a favourable 5-star review on iTunes. Remember,
still waiting for mine.
My interview with Tom Hunter will be this week, so that should be up before our next catch-up next week. Really excited for that one. AFL Women's Coach for the Richmond Football Club, first ever appointed. So massive, massive opportunities to talk footy with him and a couple of things that we've spoken about today. We're going to have a live catch-up. Oh, I think, is it next week? We're doing it next week?
Next week. Next
I think
week.
We're doing a live catch-up. We're going to be recording the episode live. Not too sure where we're going to do it yet, but if we do, we'll let everybody know on the Facebook page and a little bit of a snippet in the usual podcast channels. More importantly, we've got round 16 coming up. Let's quickly punch through these games. J-Dog, Friday night, Hawks and Pies.
Pies.
Saturday, 1:45. Yeah, I'd say the Pies, but nothing would surprise me these days. Essendon and the Swans at the MCG.
I'm going to go the Swanes.
I don't want to say it, but I reckon Essendon's going to get that one. Suns versus Richmond up at Metricon.
Richmond.
Yep. The Showdown, the Snowdown, the Slowdown, whatever you want to call it, the Snowtown Murders. Adelaide versus Port.
Port will win this by a lot because it's going to go on our win-loss, win-loss, win-loss record.
Beautiful. Doggies versus... Now, this is going to be a good one. Doggies versus Cats at Marvel 725. Strap yourselves in for this one, young ladies, because I reckon this could be a bumper, and I reckon the Doggies can knock them off.
Good try. I reckon the Cats will win this comfortably.
All right. Sunday afternoon, 1:10. The Blues versus the Ds.
Nope, you missed the Dockers, mate.
Yep. I'm getting to that.
Oh.
No, I'm not. The Dockers versus the Weagles. Another. Why didn't GWS play Sydney? Wouldn't it have been good if it was like rivalry round?
Rivalry
I miss
round.
Rivalry round.
I'm going to go the West Coast Eagles.
I'll go the Weagles. Now Sunday, 1:10, Carlton versus the Ds.
Carlton.
Okay. There may not be a live episode next week, or there might only be one of us doing it. North and St. Kilda at Blundstone Arena.
I'm going to go North.
I think too. And oh, this is going to be a corker of a game. At GIA Stadium, 4:40 p.m., just before the news, GWS and Brisbane.
GWS.
Now, if that's in Canberra, GWS by at least 5 goals because the Brisbane Lions will get frostbite. And hypothermia. It was -1 in Canberra today at one stage.
It's at Giant Stadium. So where's this Giant Stadium? That's
Bankstown, isn't it? Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, Halal Central. Hey, that's it, dudes. We're done. Exciting week of football. More importantly, J-Dog, how you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful, fresh, and ready to go for the weekend.
Beautiful. Another cracking podcast. Hey, like I said, we love you. We keep doing it. This is the Lace Out team. Peps at one end, the J-Dog at the other. My friend, give us the sign off. How do you love your football?
I like a lease out.
Lease out, baby. Go D's. Have a good weekend, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye.